everything that we do every day, we want to be a champion.
Get your mind right and let's go. Do the little things. Win every day.
It's so much to play football.
Everything with an attitude.
Alabama, you listen.
I don't give a shit who we're playing.
Dominate the guys we're playing against and make his ass quit. That's our framework. That's our MO as a team.
Richardson breaks free on the sideline. End zone.
This is a mauling, folks, a mauling.
Hear the tide, honey badger.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. In this episode, we're breaking down Alabama and Michigan. Actually, due to a little breakdown of our own, a little technical difficulty, you're stuck with just me, Dave, on the mic tonight. So I just want to jump right in and give some of the keys of the game, some of the things that I'm looking for. Hopefully, you had an opportunity to listen to our interview with MGo Talk. I had a great time interacting with those guys, I guess our new Michigan friends, if you will. And I'll try not to recover too much of that ground, but some of that I'm sure will come up in the discussion today. I want to jump right in and talk about our offense versus Michigan's defense and how I think that we'll attack the Wolverines this weekend. Look, you've heard Tom and I talk a lot about Alabama being multiple and that being a principle that Saban likes to adhere to. We'll do that again this weekend as well. We're going to put a lot of things on film. We're going to do a lot of things that we don't necessarily need to do to beat Michigan or to be competitive with Michigan, but we're going to put things on film that the opponents for the rest of the year will have to look at. So don't be surprised to see some 4 and 5 wide sets. Don't be surprised if we come out with that early. I remember when we played Va-Tech in the Atlanta Dome a couple of years ago, we came out with some 4 and 5 wide sets. And as fans, that was something new and unique to Alabama, and it was certainly surprising to see that come out. So I wouldn't be surprised if we did that this year against Michigan, and probably something that they are not wholly expected to see. But I think we'll go physical. We'll do some 2 and 3 tight end sets. We're going to see lots of motion, across the field, motion to the backfield, motion out of the backfield. We're going to see a lot of shift in play, and we'll see if we can't keep the catch the defense a little bit flat-footed in those regards. The point I'm trying to make is we're going to see a lot of different formations, and we're going to put a lot of stuff on film that Michigan will have to respond to, and we'll see indeed how they respond, and we may tweak our attack accordingly. But I think what Saban's really wanting to do is put a lot of stuff on film for opponents to have to study. The principles that we'll put to play in playing Michigan really is the strength of our team, which is the offensive line. And so this, you could say that we'll do this against anyone, but it will be especially effective against a Michigan team who is replacing 3 of their 4 starters on their defensive front. They run a 4-man front, and they're moving their defensive end, last year's stud defensive end, Will Campbell, down to an inside interior guard position, and they're doing some other shifting on the line. One of their primary backups on the defensive line at defensive end position was a linebacker last year, and so even where they're trying to patch, do some patchwork, they're getting smaller, in my estimation, across the defensive front. So I see us attacking them really heads up, line against line, our offense against their defense, our strength really, I think, against their weakness, and I think we have some success there. Then I think you do the natural extensions from that. You release a tight end, you suck in the linebackers, you release a tight end, you throw over their head. I think we're going to see that. I think that's pretty predictable. And then we're going to stretch the ball down the field. We're going to suck up the safety, suck up the linebackers, and then we'll just toss the ball over the head, especially with a little play action. And I think we'll be effective in that. I think that will be enough for us to be significantly competitive. That doesn't speak to even to the talent that we have and the players that we have that are going to represent the offense. AJ McCarron is going to come out and certainly be a leader. I think we're going to see a healthy Eddie Lacy come out at the start of the season. We're going to see TJ Yeldon. And then the wide receiver core, again, we talked about it being young, but a lot of talent and a lot of depth. So I'm excited to see how those players develop and how they contribute. Some of the key things that I will be looking for on at least from our offense in terms of personnel, AJ McCarron, I want to see him exude that leadership that he finished the season with last year. I want to see where he picks up. I want to see Eddie Lacy and see him take those hits and see him do the spin move, see if that foot and that toe are healthy. I am interested in seeing Amari Cooper, one of the freshmen, come in. He's been getting high praise. I know he's been a little bit banged up in camp, but interested to see how he comes out and plays. And I think potentially the player of the game is a T.J. Yeldon. And I get a little flack for picking him over some of the other running backs that have been on campus a little bit. But I just think he is a special player. And I think as Alabama fans are roll-tiding their way out of the stadium, that he's a guy that that they're going to be talking about. Now, when we flip the field and we're on defense, the question really becomes, how do we stop or how do we attempt to contain Denard Robinson? Look, right off the bat, he's a sensational player. I don't think there's any question about the talent that he has and the dynamic ability that he brings to the field. I think, I don't want to say that he's going to choke, but I think he's going to clinch a little bit in this game, and I'll tell you why. There are multiple articles, and it's plastered all over the Michigan sites, that this may be the most important game of his career. That's hot. That is heady talk. There's also talk about Michigan representing the Big Ten, flying the flag, raising the banner for the Big Ten. And let's face it, there's no love lost between the SEC and that jerk-off Delaney, the commissioner for the Big Ten. So I think Alabama wants to represent the Big East in the same way that they want to represent the Big Ten. I just think we bring more to that discussion, so to speak. And so I think there's a lot of prayer. All of that comes down, I think, on the shoulders of Denard. And so there's the opportunity for him to feel some of that weight and feel some of that stress. And so we'll see how that plays out. However, even if he has a sensational game, I think he lacks the supporting cast to really be effective for four quarters. They have five scholarship linemen on their team. That's the front five. Everyone else is, let me be a little more precise in that. They have five experienced scholarship players along their offensive front. Anyone else that they would bring in after their front five is walk on, or brand new true freshman on scholarship, but no experience, maybe a redshirt here or there. My point is, there's going to be pressure on those guys too. When they get into kind of the thick of the season, their mentality will shift. But going into the season, they know their numbers, they know their ranks, and they know that if one of them falters, that it could lead to a long, hard spiral along the offensive front. And so I think they're going to clench a little bit. They've moved their backup quarterback out to wide receiver. Again, representative of a lack of depth at that position. Might we see some trick plays from there? Sure. But, you know, trick plays, they are what they are. You pull those out almost as desperation, and that's what I think that we would see at that stage of the game from the Wolverines. It's my understanding they have one experienced scholarship tight end. And so, again, we're looking at almost every position across their offensive unit where they lack depth, they lack experience. Their star running back, Fitz Toussaint, was charged with DUI over the summer. They're kind of playing some games whether or not he's going to be suspended or not. He's a talented back, and of course he would give them depth at the position. Their backup running back, Thomas Rawls, he's their biggest back. He goes about 218. He's not quite as shifty, but he's a downhill runner. I think in combination, those could be an effective pair. If they're without Toussaint, I think that desperately hurts them. But I think if he plays, I don't think that it adds that much materially to their attack. Again, just because they're so thin across the offensive front. And then when we attack them on defense, and I use the word attack relative, I don't think we're necessarily going to be over-aggressive or over-hype. We may try to put a little bit of pressure. We may try to find, fill out the weak length across the offensive front and try to apply some direct pressure to that position. But I don't think we go nuts trying to apply pressure. I think we play containment. It's going to almost look like the first half of the Auburn game a couple of years ago, and that was a dreadful game in the way that it turned out. But the defensive ends that we had set the edges, forced contain over Cam, and we were highly effective in shutting down their offense in that first half. In the second half, when we had to rotate in due to some injuries and just fatigue, the second and third level defensive end, we lost contain, and they tore us apart. If we can keep contain on Denard, then I think we've got him. And I do think that we have more quality depth across our defensive front to be able to apply that pressure, apply that containment, and then sustain it for the full four quarters. I think we need to play disciplined and maintain our focus and read our keys, and that's going to be the key to our defensive success. Some of the key players or elements that I'm looking for on the defensive front is the move of Jesse Williams from defensive end to nose guard. Now, I referenced that to Michigan, that they had a defensive end moving into an inside position, and that maybe they were getting smaller at the position. With Jesse, I hesitate to say that's really not the situation. He was a 310-pound, 315-pound defensive end. And so when he goes inside and he's sitting roughly 320, 325 now, that's a beefy nose guard, so I'm less worried about that. Plus our two defensive ends that we're going to have flanking him each go 280 or better. So we're going to have some beef up front. But I am curious to see Jesse play the nose guard. He played there some last year, so he's going to, in a sort of a rotation role, he's going to own it now. So I'm excited to see him and how he performs in that role. I think everyone, every game, should key on C.J. Mosley. If you've listened to our podcast long enough, you know that I guess I have a man crush on CJ. He's an incredible talent, and I think that he is certainly someone, certainly an asset to the program. Adrian Hubbard playing at the jack position, he lit up A-Day. I get it, it's A-Day. He had three sacks in that game. Again, I get it, it's not bringing people to the ground. They're touch sacks. However, he did have three of them, and no one else did, so that speaks to something, and he was doing that against our offensive front. But that 6'7" jack linebacker, that's got to be a sight to behold if he comes crashing around the edges, waving his arms, even in containment. He is a big fella. I think he can bat down some passes. And Denard's not the tallest of quarterbacks. He might go 6'1", and so there's certainly some size differential. I'm looking forward to seeing Deion Ballou in the defensive backfield. All reports are that he is playing quite well at that corner position. I don't think that we move him around to the star or money. I think he sits at the corner position, not too dissimilar from Dre last year, and he just applies his skills in that capacity. And, of course, I am always curious to see what Vinny is up to, and I think Sinceri is going to have a sensational season. And I look forward to great things from him this year. I see him putting up some really big plays. He may have a turnover in this game. That's just the type of player he is. He's a headhunter. He may tip a ball and knock it to someone, or he may draw force a fumble. But I see Vinny having a big play in this game. So that's how I see us attacking them attacking us, thus them reacting to us and us to them. But what does that mean? How does that quantify in terms of a score? I know when I was on with the guys from MGO Talk, I think I characterize it as a 24-10 type ball game. Trying to look at that 14-point margin. The more I think about this game, and the more I reflect over our strengths versus their weaknesses, kind of again on paper, but I do think so much that those strengths and weaknesses share space. And I think that our strengths, the offensive line, the defensive line, those are critical critical positions and critical, you know, you hear coaches say all the time, it's won or lost up front. And I think we win both lines of scrimmages. I think we have a nice, chunky time of possession. I think they're already going to have a little bit of chip on their shoulder, and we may get them into a position where they start to feel the pressure and start to act a little desperate. So I'm looking at really an 18-point margin. I see a 31-13-point ball game, at least that kind of style of ball game. I don't think necessarily that it's in question. The score it in the early stages may be closer than the play on the field, but I definitely do think, you know, similar to what I said in the interview with the guys, that the separation comes later as our depth starts to prevail itself. But I think it's a wider margin than a 14. I think it could get up to 18. 18, it could potentially even get to 21. That's a big number. I don't know if I want to predict that, but I see us putting up 31, and I see them just barely into double digits. So that's where I'm going from that standpoint. I think, and Tom and I will get together and we'll forecast the full season and kind of game by game and what we think Alabama's record will be. Will Alabama make it to Atlanta? Will Alabama make it out of Atlanta? And then from there, where? Potentially Miami. I'll tell you this, it will take someone knocking us off early, because we will gain experience as the season goes on, obviously, but especially in the defensive backfield and where we do have some younger guys. So I think someone will have to knock us off early if it's going to happen. It doesn't happen Saturday. Alabama takes care of business with Michigan. I hate to say it about Michigan necessarily, but at 8, I agree with Jerry DiNardo. They're a little overrated. When you start to look at their each of their individual positions and the depth that they have relative to those positions, they just don't have it to sustain. Brady Hoke has done phenomenal things at Michigan, but he has a ways to go. In his first year, I think he had lightning in a bottle. I think they regress to progress, and like I told the guys, this is a game that Hoke probably wishes he had in a couple of years, and I wouldn't be surprised if they come knocking for a home and home in a couple of years, because they're going to want to get this taste out of their mouth. But at the end of the night, Saturday night, 31-13 type of ball game. It's an Alabama fun fest, and again, early the score will be close, closer than the play on the field, but the experience and the talent and the depth separates itself. And by the end of the game, the SEC has made a statement, and I guess so too has the Big Ten. So take that, Delaney. All right, this has been another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. We greatly appreciate you listening, and next time we'll see if we can't have Tom on the air, and he can shoot down maybe some of the points and maybe some of the aggressive statements that I've put on the table. But thanks for tuning in, and roll Tide. Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout out, a roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach?
Aye.
Of course. Roll Tide.